ahead.
Yes, I already have a lot of questions for you directly. So there's going to be a lots of questions in the end. We'll start from that one. Because my topic of my presentation is about integral innovation in the business environment. But for starters, let's get closer a little bit, mind the gap and get closer to one another, especially on the ones on the sides, because you are too spread it somehow. Closer to me, closer to you, to yourselves. Okay, cool. It's gonna be a dialogue, so I'm not gonna present. I'm gonna ask a lot of questions and I'm gonna need your participation, direct participation, right?
Can I say that?
Yep. I'll use the microphone. Yeah, I'll use it. So, which of you knows about innovation in some way?
About
innovation in the company, in the business sector. So, few of you, creativity. Does anyone has to do with creativity of some sorts?
Yes.
Okay. Who's working in an orange company whose gravitational pull is orange? What about the rest of you? You are working in teal companies?
Green
companies. Okay, another question. Which is the gravitational pull of our economy in the world right now?
Red.
Straight answer. You said it? You said it. Who said it? Tough one. Okay, red is one answer. What else?
Orange.
I say the same. I think orange is the gravitational pull nowadays in our economy. And when I've started my research on innovation, I thought, how can you fix this orange environment? Because it's broken. It should be, we deserve more than this. We deserve green, for example, right? We deserve to be heard, to be asked, to be listened to, and so on. So my idea was how to fix the orange world. And the question for you is, what is the main intention of an orange company? What does it want?
Shareholder value.
What else? Profit.
Expansion.
Efficiency.
Right? Cutting costs. Beating the competition. Right? And what's the main method they use? What? A guess. Your guesses.
Advertising is a big part.
Advertising. Okay. Pushing the product.
Intellectual property.
Keeping. Innovation, that's it.
It's both innovation and marketing.
Right. And marketing is an innovation of some sorts. So I used to work in an orange company for 13 years in a bank. And the orange effect on my life was that I was late at nights, in the nights at work, preparing Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentations, credit files for the clients, and missing my and missing my children's childhood. I got home when they were already asleep, and they've been raised without me being aside, without being there for them. Then I wanted to fix that, and the first thing was that I got out of the system and created another company. That's part of the innovation process and the reason for my book and my research on innovation, which you will find in a bit. But let's start with something very dynamic. We have these three circles, one into the other. And I'm gonna give you three words, concepts, and we'll start, as Brother Steindl Rust said, yesterday with the definition. I'll give you these three words and you have to put them in the right circles. One in each of the circles. The three words are imagination, invention, and creativity. No clues, just your opinion.
How important they are?
I don't know. That would be a criterion.
What do these circles represent?
Exactly. Just throw some guesses and we'll see.
The big one is imagination.
Imagination, because you are thinking in a quantitative way and you say we need lots of imagination to be creative.
Imagination is the field.
Okay, it's the field. Okay. Some other answers.
You say imagination is kind of the core, and then there's creativity.
That's the core.
Yeah.
And then?
Creativity, and then there's innovation.
Why is that?
Sounds like process to me.
Process-like? Okay, some other answers? Well, we have 9 possibilities, I guess. It's 3 combined by 3. So. Right, so imagination, creativity, and invention, right? What's an invention? The tube, the metro.
Something that's used.
Yeah, that's something new which has material form, something physical usually, right? A new invention, that's it. What's this? You said something mental. Might be mental, might be, I don't know, physical, emotional, psychological, but what is it?
Intangible.
Basically, I mean in lame terms. It's intangible, that's for sure. But what? How are you imaginative?
Daydreaming.
Daydreaming, right. So how do you get from daydreaming to physical new products? Through creativity. Then what's creativity?
It's a process.
It's a process of? Of thinking to
make something
better, improved, or something like this, right? So it's finding solutions. Sorry?
It's just a bridge between imagination and invention. The dream to reality is the dream.
Right, let's hope it doesn't sink as in the movie. So it's finding solutions. So basically, you have to have something to get out of your daydreaming to produce something new. What do you need?
A problem.
Right, a problem. So, when a problem arises, a purpose, something to be solved, that's imagination in action. It becomes energetic. It transforms itself into finding solutions. From this point of view, finding solutions to any kind of a problem, disruptive problem or just lame problem, is the same thing. And we are talking about continuous innovation, which is small steps innovation, evolutionary innovation, and revolutionary innovation, which is disruptive and finding solution to bigger problems. Why do you think I've placed these circles in relation to this Wilbur Combe lattice, which is stages and states? What's the relationship between them?
Between stages and?
If you haven't reached a certain stage and a certain state, you'll lack either imagination, creativity, or
innovation. I didn't think about that thought yet. No, that's not the reason. Something else, but interesting idea.
Problems are different between states.
That's correct. Problems are different here and here and here for a company, say. Okay? The companies, red companies have different kind of problems than the orange ones and green ones and so on. That's one idea. Something else. Why is this one here in the non-dual causal area?
It's the source
that Jeremy mentioned, I guess, or someone. I don't know. In the prior. Yeah, in the morning. It's the source. It's the main generative source from where we derive our visions, our purposes, our willings, wants, and so on. And then it becomes more and more material, growth in the real realm, right? So the first key to innovation in a company is to have a purpose, a problem, a focus question, we call it. If we are, let's say we are an Orange company, Orange Incorporated today. We are the employees of this company called Orange Incorporated. So we are here. Why? What kind of a purpose do we need to steer the innovation out of us in this company?
Make money.
Yeah, reward.
Okay.
Beat competition.
Beat competition.
You need a mandate, a rule.
Okay. No. None of what you've just said. Because they are all orange. And they are not higher enough to make us dream. That's why 75%, 80% of all the innovation programs in the world fail right now. That's why we have this figure. Do you know what figure this figure is? Related to engagement, employee engagement. That's the employee engagement worldwide. We are 30 here, more or less. Three of us, only three of us, wants to be here in this company. Each morning they say, I want to go there and work that workings and do that stuff and so on. 87% of the people working in the current economical environment are disengaged. Half of them are passively disengaged, meaning they are going there and going out without feeling a thing. And half of them are actively disengaged. Why? Because they don't have a higher purpose. So the main issue with this problem, focus, question, purpose, that we need to have to become innovative and creative is that it has to be higher. It has to be green, for example. That's one thing. Then let's get real now. You know the quadrants, right? I mean, everybody? Is there anybody not knowing what this...
Can we come back?
Right. We don't know if we have time, but say it.
Is the reason they're not engaged is because their stage meme is not... Why are they not engaged?
Say some more. You are going the right way.
So it's an orange company, but not everybody in the company has an orange consciousness.
Okay.
Is that part of... That's part of it.
Part of it.
Yeah.
But let's see. Let's digest a little bit. Why are people disengaged?
Well, they're bored. They don't feel seen.
They are bored because
there's no challenge.
There's no challenge. Okay, something else.
They're
not seen.
They do nonsense.
They do nonsense work.
There's not much choice.
There's no choice.
They have no connection with what they're doing.
Right, and they are not listened to. I'm a coach, basically. I work with these kind of people. They are not heard. They are not being heard. They are not listened to. Nobody asks them in a green way what's their opinion. If they ask, they are not followed. Yep.
And just to point out, I think obviously in a big orange company like where I work, there are obviously lots of interesting, highly developed people.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, if they do start to innovate, they get kicked out.
So that's a reminiscence from the orange era in your company. Yes. Yeah. That's,
yes,
yeah, that's
numbers, huh?
Yeah.
That's all.
So this is the this might be the main reason.
Can we also say like the physical environment doesn't support life? It's just too cement and too...
Maybe you've been in the architectural integral presentations yesterday. Yeah. That's one thing. I mean when you fix people in cubicles, that's not listening. That's boxing.
May I say something?
Yeah, please.
We started with the premise that the companies are orange.
Yes.
But I do have a repeating sense that actually there's a fallacy, and the companies pretend to be orange. They are orange in the sense they want to make money, but in the procedures they are bloody blue, and they have tons of blue procedures, and
right.
Then they tell people now be creative.
Right. But something else here. When a stakeholder, a shareholder, has an orange level of consciousness, How's going to be the company beneath him?
Same.
You are not going to see a socialist revolution in a capitalist company.
No.
You are not going to see this. So the change doesn't start from the bottom in companies. It starts from the top down, from top to down, right? Okay, so let's get back to the real thing now related to innovation. So you know that the quadrants, this is I, this is it, my behaviors and so on. This is we, this is its. In the purest orange way, directive way, I'll ask you for ideas in the following manner. You four here form a group, then you another group, then you another group, and you another group. And you have 2 minutes to produce at least 3 ideas for each of the quadrants. You have the first quadrant, you have the second one, you have the we quadrant, you have the its quadrant. Start. 2 minutes. Just arrange yourself. You need some more information, you orange guys, right? Okay, I'll give you the information. You have to come out with 3, 4, 5 ideas of what's here and here and here and here, what has to be there for our company to be innovative. For our company to be innovative, our Orange Incorporated company to be innovative. So you work on this quadrant, you there work on this one, and so on, right? Go, 2 minutes.
Behavior. The personal, yes, but tangible. It could also be the physical things, like he was talking about cubicles. So we have cubicles.
It doesn't go into the physical.
Your idea on that? What do you think? Do you think not?
I don't know.
I think it also sits in
that. Because I thought that the
systems,
the systems and structures. No, we say it's the physicality, behavior.
Okay.
To be innovative, and we're an orange company.
Yeah.
You has to be at ease. You have to be at ease
to be creative.
You have to say something, eh?
We need to see, as an orange company,
yeah,
what behaviors do we need, individual behavior of people, in order to be...
1 minute.
There has to be trust. There has to be trust. There has to
1 minute
be, yeah,
remaining.
Trust, is that tangible enough?
Trust is more on the left hand side. So we're looking at the right. We have a hard problem.
Mm?
We have a difficult problem to solve.
Yeah, but is the question, is ideas as an orange company, what behavior we need to be innovative? Right?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to figure out
what the question is.
Stop! Enough! Thanks! Stop! Stop! We have only 2 minutes. Okay. I told you are not being heard in your companies, and now you have the occasion. So, yes, write it down.
I hope we did this right, but we'll just do it.
Even if it's wrong.
Initiative.
And how? Okay. You want to be behavior? Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. I'll tell you why. We'll discuss why.
We need stimulation.
Yeah, this one.
We do these things like
here.
Creativity rules to... So it is as an orange company, what do we need to be innovative?
Right.
Hmm?
Did you have ideas?
Yes, we have some. We have a little bit of trouble. Actually, the upper right is probably the hardest one to figure out.
Yes, it is. In this innovation domain, right,
yeah,
it is.
But we'll
clear it up.
We had a hard time figuring out what we were supposed to be talking
right,
about.
Right, right. When I wrote my book, I had the same, problem.
Hmm? You've written a book?
Yep. It's in on the back side.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What? I don't know.
So, do you have some answers?
Yes.
Write them down. 3, not more.
Which one?
The good ones.
Why did I write it there? I was
in the second one. It doesn't matter.
But
Is it? So you were in the second one?
Yes.
Okay, so we had five groups, I guess. It's all right. It's all right. Maybe we have some new ideas. Thanks. That's it. Yep. With the blue one.
Why?
Because it's blue. So you have this quarter here, right? This is okay. You're being original. So, is it as in the picture right there?
We cannot see this.
Okay, you will see it then in a minute.
It's the right brain.
Elisangela. This is enough.
Oh, and this one. Okay.
Okay. No, but we don't have enough time. So, thanks a lot. So, is it like this? Here we have motivation, inspiration, freedom. Freedom of thinking, freedom of thoughts, right? And encouragement. And there is something more in the I quadrant, in the inner subjective presence in this company. I have to believe that I am creative. Who thinks he's creative right now? You are very good for a green company. In orange companies, when you ask this question, there are only two or three hands rising. So that's it. And I know this because for the last 5-6 years, I've worked with orange companies. And I ask this question. And that's a core idea here. You have to believe that you are creative in the sense that you are capable of finding solutions, not creative in the artistical, original sense.
But that's a language problem.
Yes, it is. That's why we've started with the definition. Because I know that's a definition problem. Then here, now let's get here in the we sector, because the it sector is a little bit complicated. In the we have crowdsourcing of ideas. We have, what's this, CEO?
CIO. Chief Innovation Officer and all that.
Okay, and innovation department coaches, plus coaches. Okay, so we have to have an innovative culture in the sense that we share ideas. That's basically the main idea. We have to share our ideas, to be led to share our ideas. About that Charles, what was his name? Charles?
Pearson.
The invent. Yeah. You said there, networking. No great inventor in our humanity history was a loner in a cave. He was in the middle of a network of ideas from many domains, not only from his domain. So that's here. Then in the it's, in the processes and systems quadrant, we have to have basically a business framework steering us up to come up with ideas, to move ideas, to pilot ideas, to test ideas, to validate them, to measure their impact, and so on. So it has to be a system. And here, we have two things. We have something related to the creative brain. Is there any kind of a creative brain, creative DNA, creative biology of some sorts? There is not. No, there is no scientific proof that few of you are born creative and the others are not. That's a trainable feature. But that's one thinking. And the other thinking is that it relates to creative behaviors, to creative techniques. How should I think? How should I decide? How should I find solutions to my problems in the most creative way? And there are some 200 creative techniques to work with currently. What's the main problem of a company? You had some idea. So you said we have a lot of this, we crowdsource our ideas, but it doesn't work. Why?
Well, in the company I work for,
Okay.
But it never works because
why?
People don't really feel free to do it. There's no money allocated to do projects. People
right.
have to book to department codes, they've got no free time, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So actually, the infrastructure looks like it's there, but the reality is bullshit.
Usually, in a company where all these criteria, all these conditions are present, there's something missing. The what?
Time.
Okay, we don't have enough time. Time is lacking. Okay, I agree, but it's not the main issue. You may have all this and enough time, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. And what if?
Will is here. The structures, no. Structures are present.
So what you're saying is that all the things on the quadrants are there. But
all the things in all the quadrants are there, but still nothing happens. No innovative thought, no new ideas, no new product.
The connection to the higher purpose.
Right. The connection to the higher purpose. And that's a very technical thing. It's not something mystical here. When you have a higher purpose, it means that the purpose, starts to create disruption to the existing stage of things, to the existing status of things. It creates disruptive things here and here and here and here. For example, in a company where everybody's orange in their thinking and feeling, there's never gonna be a new idea, a new innovative idea. Why? Because we innovate in relation to people who are different from us. There has to be a complete mix of memes, ages, experience, race, fashion of thinking, sex, anything, in order to produce something new. Two men or two women will not create something new, never. That's a thing. It's the same with innovating in companies. So there are polarities needed to create sparks. And that's the whole thing that I've wanted to say. I will just say one more phrase, is it? Okay. When I've started this project, because it's a project, first I've studied everything, I've read everything on the topic in creativity and innovation. Then I've done a meta study, meaning I've tried to extrapolate from all the studies what was relevant and common. I made some hypotheses out of this study, and then I test grounded them with more than 1,000 people in companies during the last 4 years. What came out was this book mainly, and it contains everything from how to understand innovation in a company, to the whole process, to a whole program of implementing integral innovation in an orange company to really do stuff there. Plus 50 collective we practices and I practices for the employees to really get the things going. So it's everything there. If you want it, you can have it. Now, with my signature on it, I will just ask you to donate some money for the Ken Wilber Fund. They will go all the money will go to the Ken Wilber Fund, just as a kind of appreciation for his work from my side and from your side. And that was it. If you have questions, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was lively and dynamic indeed. So we've heard Jeremy talking about the economic evolution and the elements and aspects that are connected in the several industrial phases we went through and how we got here. We've heard Leven, yes, from Belgium, about how this IT infrastructure and the consequences of the hardware, software, and the data, and especially the ownership and the consequences of the developments that we cannot yet overlook, might even overwhelm us as we do not know the outcome, and how we need to be very conscious about creating our future also in relationship to data and money systems and everything that's connected with that. And then in the end, George said, okay, now if we connect that all and we look around us and we look at the economic systems and the money systems and everything else, where does it really come from and how does it connect in relationship to especially corporations at their different levels of development? And I would also say there are levels of consciousness of how the system works and what is needed to become integral. And they cannot see the levels up, but they can sometimes see the levels below, because I've been a corporate executive for most of my life, and I see in corporations all expressions of the spiral. I see HR being very green. Beautiful,
yeah, usually,
from
yeah.
the heart. I see orange, you know, in the marketing and in the selling, in the bonuses, in the opportunities, in the developments, everything. I see very healthy blue in financial systems, you know. There are all these different levels. And if they are healthy in a corporation, and also healthy in the way they they invite innovation and other stuff, it's gonna be fine, and they will evolve to the next level, which is yellow. And I see a lot of yellow in corporations too, because they are so process driven. Mm-hmm. I kind of get, you know, pimples from it. You know, it's terrible sometimes, because the process is there before the human being. Then it gets again to completely to the other side. So it is all there, and it's all there to develop and get to the next levels. But we have questions now here for our speakers, and we still have until 1:30, so we have some time to sit in a circle, put them in the middle, share them with each other, and hopefully get some answers or develop some answers that help us take it back to where we need to get to. So I invite you to come in the circle. So we'll start here.
Thank you. And this is a question to Jeremy and
Leva.
And I don't know to what extent you are familiar with the systems, the cross systems that you were talking about. So, because my question is, what's the commonality and what's the difference between what you were talking about, the Minomics and Winomics?
Okay.
I don't know exactly what you do mean by Miminomics, but I have a thought about it. I first say what I do think about it. I do think memes are things that are replicated in society, something like that.
Right.
Yes?
Collective yeah. archetypes.
And I want to connect that to the way we can innovate now at this moment, just by replicating good things that are happening. And if there then is a connection between Miminomics, I don't know that it is an economical system for you. Is it the economical system? I will, if it's an economic, Wikonomics just is a name of a foundation that is building up a new infrastructure. That's all to say about economics.
As I used it in the slide, Memonomics was simply a reference to the title of a book and thought developed by Said Dolabani, which is an application of spiral dynamics to economics. So I'm not suggesting that that is integral economics. It's one example of an integral approach.
May I answer? I see Wikinomics. I have a mic, so it's recorded. Yeah. Wikinomics, it refers to this quadrant only. It means crowd sharing, crowdfunding, and crowd everything. While Miminomics, it explains the economics right now through the stages in the spiral dynamics. So that's what it would should comprise Wikinomics in a way.
I don't.
We like Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
No, it's W-E.
Right, it's W-E.
So it's
we
nomics.
Like
economics
right.
With W in front of it.
I,
do you have to add that?
Yes. I don't know if you are on the, if we are on the same page, because economics deals also with the quadrant at the right, because it integrates the transactional innovation space, what is not questioned yet in companies as we know now. So it's very important that we question the transactional innovation space also, and that's what economics is about.
So it's basically this lower part of the quadrant, because it's relations and processes. Right.
Any other questions or thoughts, remarks, combinations of innovative images coming up?
May I have a thought? I respect a lot all aspects to go integral at economics, because I really think it's needed. So I really appreciate that. I used to be a physicist, and at certain point, I tried to understand economics, so I studied hard. And I admit to no big avail from my point of view. And then I stumbled across the field of econophysics, and I learned in few afternoons much more about the underlying dynamics of what's happening than from tons of looking at, we call it classical, or not classical, but the present economics, full of mathematics, but and this I can say, mathematics which is not very meaningful, because it's models with tons of variables, so it just describes whatever you want and doesn't say anything about the underlying dynamics. So I just want to bring that to maybe your consciousness. And there's another point. The fiduciary duty of the markets, that is, according to me, which needs to be addressed, because if you ask what's the role of a company in the market, it's derived from the law, and the law says that the whoever is the, at the helm of the company needs to make money. So if there is a decision, do I fire 100,000 employees now to make money for the next quarter, or do I invest for the future? The answer is set by law. Thank
by
you.
Law, it's important.
And that's why you see also in companies that the purple in the spiral is not well developed, because the core kind of loses its purpose and meaning. They buy companies, they sell companies, the cultures don't mix, they don't have a common purple basis connected to the higher purpose that brings them forward for the good of the whole. And that's where defragmentation really starts.
it's just a comment to what you said. Maybe a slight correction that this is primarily the case in the US, for example, not necessarily in Europe. Actually, Europe is leading in that aspect, so there are a lot of changes going on in Europe. But also in the US and globally, we already have this movement of big corporations. Mm-hmm. Probably some of you are familiar, which are specially incorporated not to have this profit purpose. So.
And by law, they are not required to do this.
Just to reiterate what you were saying about economics and physics, the mainstream of economics modeled itself on Newtonian physics from the late 1800s. And essentially, they're still using Newtonian-style physics from a bygone era, and haven't even made it to complexity in quantum.
They didn't make it to statistical.
Well, no, there is statistics, but the problem is that the statistical models are based on the theoretical models that are tied to ancient physics.
So maybe they should not.
Well, I'm not so much familiar with all these kind of models, but I do know that in a company, the spreadsheet is the most important thing in the corporate environment. And the way to get there, how you get there, and the values that play a role to get there aren't even discussed. It's all, how about your spreadsheet? Today? No, yesterday, today, yes. Tomorrow, every day. So that is really where this change needs to come also, I think. So any more questions?
We have a question to Jeremy, but maybe you could somehow share the how it's possible to share to get your presentation. Is it possible and how it's? Maybe you can share your email. I can.
I would add for all the presenters. If we can.
Yes, all presenters,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So what do I suggest?
What I suggest is I put out an A4. You put your name and email address and. We'll copy it, perhaps, to the...
Sorry.
Yep.
For me, there's a simple solution. Google Jeremy Wakeford Integral Economics, and at least find the paper will be available if you want to read the whole paper. Which is better, the book. No, you're going to have to wait a while for the book. That's a work in progress. But
okay.
I'll send you the cover.
Jeremy
Wakeford Integral...
Integral economics.
Integral economics.
It should. I mean, I tried it recently, and it came up as a first. Amazing. There isn't another Jeremy Wakeford that's doing integral economics. Thank goodness.
I wanted to share a thought, actually, related to something you said, and mixed with what you said about there are all these different colours and people in companies, and I gave a speech. I work for Airbus, basically, massive company, which is. Predominantly kind of orange, but I always say you can't label it as anything because it's got everything and everything inside. And frankly, I find it very frustrating when people say the change has to come from the top because it's not the experience in Airbus. It has to be bought into at some point, but it's a never-ending story. And we created a shitstorm in Airbus from the bottom up, and it's changing everything. Just to be aware, you know, that it can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's a beautiful remark you're saying. Because, and I noticed you have also, because what my experience is that not only in companies but also in politics, politics will only change when the understream is servicing and is forcing politics to do it differently. The same thing in companies. I've seen it around. Really, you can make a difference. You can be one of the ones that really make it surface and force the energy to change.
Well, one last point on that. It's funny you should mention politics, because in this journey, at a given point in time, we said, we can't differentiate changing the company from changing society. Well, who changed society? Gandhi, Luther King, So all we did was we start Wikipedia, what did Gandhi do, right? So we just started copying that. We put stickers in toilets, we did a protest outside the CEO office, we did all kinds of crazy shit that made people realize that they could take responsibility for the company, you know? And that's how it happened. And it's not over, it's not teal by far. But, you know, people wake up, they do things, sometimes they go backwards, but it's about creating movement and life in the company, you know? I also write satire and satirical articles about corporate culture and put them inside the company and stuff like that. You know, it's really funny. Gets people very angry.
And you haven't been fired yet?
Actually, I have more or less been fired from Airbus.
I see.
Well, it doesn't matter because yeah. The movement goes on. And actually, it's good that I've been fired because I came to be...
You're a martyr.
Yeah. Figuring this stuff, and I didn't want to be a guru, I was just doing it for fun. So now other people are taking the movement forward. Sorry, I should have taken the mic.
So one important thing I notice from what you're saying and what I'm saying myself is that stop being the victim. Yeah. Start sitting in the driver's seat and then take people's issue to make this huge thing that everybody's having this steering wheel. So
hashtag responsible employee activism. That's what we say.
I am thinking if we have to invent a new way of letting go companies, gentle go, stop with them.
Letting go the company.
Yes.
All of people,
and we just. I don't want to take too much time, so just 30 seconds on the constellation. I was capitalism. I was compelled to stand up. I come from Slovakia. I lived 29 of my years under communism. Then we embraced capitalism. Then we became critics of capitalism because we could compare. Now I had to stand up and I let go. And I felt that I was being the dark force behind the scenes, kind of poking into dogmatism, nationalism, all sorts of stuff, creating bad stuff. And then I met capitalism meant shame. And that worked. And what worked, kind of to put second thoughts, and then what worked after that was that when people came in, they poked into me and directed the capitalism their ways, and then it was touching back and forth, so it was becoming generous, but only when people exerted the will. Thank you.
So confirming all these energies already connecting, huh? And that's a nice thing, if you do organizational constellations in organizations, it's tremendous. It is such a power, so the energetic field that we all feel here has much more power. I'm also doing eco-intention, which is a practice. Give me one executive, which gives me his objectives for 2018 or 19, and he gives me the boundaries of his system, could be one department or the company. And I balance it from a distance, energetically, grounding it and helping it to revitalize itself. Employees don't know I'm doing it, but they're finding the energy is changing. That is the future of how we work with energies. That is where it's happening. Constellations, balancing from a distance, revitalizing organizations, but it has to be from the heart, and it has to be very integral. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Correct.
So, any more questions? Any more questions? Closing remarks?
We have 10 minutes still, don't we?
Yeah, it's 1:30, we're going to have lunch, so we still have some time.
1:30. I was wondering if you could comment, I've had this experience around creativity where if I'm on this all day, I just cannot access it. And when I said time, I was really referring to like, I'm so caught in so many other things. So that was one question. And I was also curious from you, because I came in a little bit late when you were referring to this three something, and if you wanted to comment on that again and this dynamic of, I don't remember the name of it, you had the...
Threefold, the foundations and...
Uh-huh. So if there's time that you could comment on it and even mention a couple of things you didn't mention in the lecture.
So the short answer would be that interest beats lack of time. Three more words. Why, what, how? On the same circles.
Why
is it isn't here, right?
Yeah.
So why?
Then what?
The how.
Then the how. Then the what.
Sorry.
Time is a what? Is a resource. You will find time when you are going to find your inner why and the how to get there. So it's a resource. You cannot blame time. For example, creative people, they never blame lack of time for not creating. They've created, and that was it.
I read recently exactly on that issue of too much time on cell phones. We have the temptation in our pockets to fill up these little spaces of time that we would normally have during the course of a day for just being, whether it be on the bus or in the car to, well, and if you drive to work it's different, but I take the bus for 10 minutes and my temptation is, I must learn German now, or you know, I must check emails or something. But that deprives me of those little gaps of time where my brain can just process and be open to the new ideas. A meditation practice is brilliant, but even just small bits of time, standing in a queue somewhere, and then just sort of being conscious of some connection to the source can be really powerful, I think, because in that sense, you don't need a lot of time for the creative seed, the creative energy to come in.
Any more remarks, things you want to share?
I would be open just to hear a bit more of the three.
As you said, a lot of what is happening within companies is by law, and commonalities are governments in our thinking, and we can complement it with new commonalities. Is that clear what I want to say with it? A commonality is for me where people in society connects with and put their commonalities within, like law is, like digital infrastructure could be, and it needed to be, it don't need to be the state anymore. A commonality is what we want to say, it's a foundation, it is our commonality. In that commonality, we put our common rules, we put our common issuing of new money, we put our way how we will organize the different aspects of a digital infrastructure independent from each other. It's very important to not have that monopolistic companies we have today from Silicon Valley. It's all about having a commonality, and in that commonality we put rules that we agree between parties, between stakeholders, that we will organize it today separately from each other, and that it is neutral for the users. And governments can't do it anymore because they are a party. They do deal with data. And the Economics Foundation is a foundation that has a new thinking and proposals for an infrastructure, and also is starting up a utility. We call it utility. Threefold Foundation has also a part, and they are connecting. I can go further on it, but I think it will bring us too long.
We hope you gain a lot of success. We wish you a lot of success.
Thank you.
So, you still have a question?
I have another question. It's actually Jeremy, because you said, I understood that you said it's basically up to us now to create the climate that allows like an integral economy to prosper, I would say, or that we can like can get there somehow. Like, where would you start? Like, when you like leave this room, like, where would you actually start doing something to make this change happen?
The question for
us. Where would I personally start, or you, as in you generally?
You generally.
Well, I will start based on the gifts that I have to give, and my interests, my passion, and that happens to be thinking big picture stuff about economics. It doesn't mean it's easy. I mean, it's taking me 15 years and counting to try and operationalize this into my daily working life. But I think those principles would apply to anybody. I mean, the scale doesn't matter. It's just about, your passion and your gifts. So the passion is the fire that drives you, and the gifts is just what carries you and takes it out into the world in whatever scale or whatever form is appropriate to you as an individual. These are the kind of questions you need to ask the Roger Walshes and so on. Who am I to say?
But we all speak also from experience, right?
Jeremy, I'm so glad that you mentioned gifts, because there is a lot of the green thinking influence that everybody is capable of anything through sheer will and good wishes, etc. But I'm a strong believer in actually developing the potential that we have of our gifts. So the first task is to recognize actually what our gifts are. And I think it's a very hard task to recognize what our gifts are, but very important, because we do come with different gifts. And it's not like, everybody can be a Picasso or an Einstein. But it's important, and they're all there. The gifts are all there, and they're all important, but they are not the same. So I just wanted to thank you for mentioning this.
Yeah, it's nice you mentioned gift, because what I've noticed in many people, and also in myself, that the gifts that are so self-evident, I don't even see them myself, are the gifts that other people say, wow, how do you do that? It's so easy. Because it's so easy for me, because it's a gift. I don't have to do any effort for it. So the moment somebody tells you, wow, that's easy, how do you do that? You have this quality, Realize that that's your gift. Those are the things that you think most self-evident, everybody can do it. If everybody can do it, it's your gift, if you think that. Really important. There was one closing remark I wanted to make about this process of healing from a distance. We do large ecosystems in Hungary and also in the European project, trying to connect acupuncture points that are kind of power points that can connect and help heal Europe. We do this in organizations and other places. But one of the important things is that when you start to do that, you realize there is everywhere a burdened past. And the burdened past cannot be ignored. Once you start seeing the energy, revitalizing it, the burdened past will show up. It will show up. Burdened past is stresses and blockages from the past.
Shadows.
Shadows also. and it's in nature. It is in nature also, because nature has the energetic field that also has the burden past that we created, and we helping that also transform. So if you are interested to read a bit about it, just pick up one of these. It is about how we can do more with less. And it is simple. So thank you very much all for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a nice lunch.